get one more person here.
And there's not going to be here till later, right?
Till 10:15. 9:45 to 10:15.
Morning.
Morning. Council come to order, and Carla, please call the roll.
Fish, Saltzman,
here.
Leonard,
here.
Fritz,
here.
Adams.
Thank you. Before we start our regular agenda, I want to welcome the foreign exchange high school students that are in the audience. They're here through the Council of International Educational Exchange and come from Brazil, the Czech Republic, Germany, Jordan, Morocco, and Thailand. We're honored to have your presence. Thank you. Carla, please read item 394.
394, request of Teresa McGuire to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Teresa McGuire.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have 3 minutes, if you'll state your name for the record.
It's Teresa McGuire, and I'm a resident of Commissioner Fritz's. And to you, the council, there's an expectation that for everyone who comes before you and sits in one of these three chairs, that you will collectively and individually take some sort of action, and that how you act to guide our city will be based on legal, moral, and ethical values. And in the city charter, the first section of the Code of Ethics espouses that you will act with accountability, leadership, and trust. And I've come to my conclusion, that like it or not, your collective behaviors fall into one or more of three categories. And to use a variation of an old folk way, rich man, poor man, it seems the options would be liar, beggar man, and thief. Each of you receive a public salary. Where is your 20% pay cut to show sympathies for those who are unemployed, underemployed, or who are working full-time and are taking a pay reduction? I have sat here for, I believe, 8 sessions in the last few months, and I ask myself, where is the accountability, the leadership, the trust that we as the residents of this city are entitled to after shouldering the financial burden, and particularly this year? Sam, who I see is not here, you admitted lying about your relationship with Beau Breedlove. You admitted lying to ensure an election. You besmirched Bob Ball. These facts alone are justification for your immediate removal as mayor of Portland. He has heard these charges leveled at him, and yet he continues to remain in office. Where is your accountability, your leadership, and our trust? Today, April 15th, is a day for citizens to render payment for public services. And I am calling upon you, the Portland City Council, to earn your keep. 3 of you have said that you asked the State Attorney General's office to look into this election matter. Where is this report? When will it be forthcoming? And who is stalling, dragging their feet, keeping us in the dark? Commissioner Fritz, you have said that as the City Council, you can, in essence, vote the mayor out. None of you is being asked to do that as a City Council. What needs to happen is you each need to walk down the hall to Sam's office with the message that it's time for him to go. This unresolved situation continues to cost each of you politically, and I also believe personally. And come July 1st, the price will be going up. Over 230 years ago, taxes, sugar stamp, quartering, and the final tip of the scale, the Tea Act, led the states to let King George know we had had enough. Today, in a through-the-looking-glass, twisted moment of time, we find a city council who, instead of shouting off with their heads, is shouting off with Memorial Coliseum and build a ballpark within its vacant shell. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday to PGE Park, who in its rebirth as of 2001 is of April 30th. I wonder what interest rates we will continue to pay as we haul the rubble away. So come July 1st, I will honor our present mayor as I have decided to go out to the street corners, and I will solicit 18-year-olds as well as other older registered voters to oust Sam Adams.
You're 3 minutes up.
I know. So the citizens of Portland, rich man, poor man, say to you, Sam, liar, and the commissioners, unfortunately, beggar man, thief, that we have had enough, and here's to the revolution. Thank you.
Okay. Item 395, Carla.
Request of John Potts to address council regarding the Burnside-Sandy intersection project.
Good morning, Mr. Potts.
Good morning.
State your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is John Potts, and I am the owner of both the business Northwest Fitness and the property located at 1338 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Most people recognize it as where Sandy and Burnside meet. In February, I was contacted by Sharon LaDuca from Hannah McEldowney and Associates. She informed me that the city needed temporary easements to go forward with the Cooch-Burnside couplet. When I asked why the easement was needed, much to my shock and dismay, she informed me that the city was closing Sandy Boulevard and realigning traffic so it would bypass my storefront completely. I quickly got in touch with Chris Arms from the Transportation Bureau, and she informed me that indeed Sandy Boulevard was being closed and that it was a done deal. I subsequently set up a meeting with Ms. Arms and Dan Anderson, who is the liaison for Mayor Adams for Transportation. They informed me that the decision was irrevocable, and the best they could do for me was to try and help with some temporary signage, and if that wasn't satisfactory, that they would hold no further conversations with me about the damage being done to the values of my property and business by closing my access and street frontage on one of the most well-known streets in Portland. As most of you know, the number one criteria for successful businesses is location, location, location. I purchased this property in 1994 simply because of that, and now the city is taking much of that value from me. In this case, it is a double dose of bad news because now not only is the value of my property compromised, but the ability of my business to survive is severely jeopardized. This has been a retail location for many years with the orientation of the storefront completely to Sandy Boulevard. With this change, not only will all traffic from in front of my store be eliminated and access cut in half, but we will no longer even have a Sandy Boulevard address as there will no longer be a Sandy Boulevard. I have provided pictures of my store which show just how much impact this will cause. Pictures 1, 2, and 3 show what our current and potential customers see as they are driving on Sandy Boulevard. Pictures 4, 5, and 6 show what they will see from Burnside and 14th Avenue. As you can see, without completely reorienting my building, I will no longer have any significant visibility to the flow of traffic. The city is taking one of the most recognized locations in Portland and destroying its retail value without a major restructuring of my building. In this time of physical crisis, I can't believe this is money well spent, as it in no way resolves any traffic problems in this area, but simply moves them one block east. I have been in business in the Portland market for 30 years, and we are now in the worst economic climate in my experience. This street closure is going to drastically impact my ability to stay in business. We are a small business with 12 employees in the Portland market, but when jobs are being lost left and right, I have been able to keep all of my employees working by making cuts and sacrifices in other areas.
Mr. Potts, your 3 minutes are up. Do you want to just conclude very quickly?
Very quickly. 12 employees are not many in the scheme of things, but to me, each employee is a family that I am doing my best to support. The decision to close Sandy Boulevard will result in the taking of the value of both my property and my business. As both a business and property owner, I can't believe that this is either wise or fair. I would encourage you to reconsider this project.
Thank you, Mr. Potts.
Thank you.
Carla, please read item 396. And so this audience knows we don't allow audible demonstrations, so if you'll wave your hands, if you support what somebody's saying, that would be appropriate.
396, request of Hector Laura Cervantes to address council regarding illegal experiments on citizens.
Mr. Cervantes. Apparently not here today. Item 397, Carla.
Request of Pete Colt to address council regarding thanking the city civil servants.
Here comes Mr. Colt. Mr. Colt, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome, and you know the rules, but for the record, please just give your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Pete Colt, and I've been to the Czech Republic, wonderful country, been to Germany. You guys are great. Hi, you guys. I'm happy to see you up there, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Saltzman, I just wanted to start with an apology to you. I lost faith in you concerning your interest in children and how you were running the Parks Department because of the dogs that keep infesting Cooch Park, the feces. You said something last week that struck a chord with me. First of all, it made me say, oh, my God, he really is who he says he is. And second of all, it made me say, I owe this man an apology. And I'm going to go and talk to all the people that I talked to about you and tell them I was wrong. Commissioner Saltzman does care as much about children as he does, because you're right. We care more about ponies and puppies than we do about our kids. So thank you, and I'm sorry. So here I am because I live in the kids zone, okay? And I want to invite Merritt Paulson to come and live in the kids zone, because we're literally, we include PGE Park. And there, Sylvia, who's sitting right there, and her husband and their little two-year-old son, JJ, are selling their home on Northwest Cooch between 18th and 19th. Mr. Paulson could just hop Burnside and be right there at PGE Park. But the kids zone is everything within a 5-minute walk of the Northwest Cultural Center in the Alphabet District. The kids zone is a sanctuary where infants, toddlers, small children, and teens from everywhere in metropolitan Portland come to worship, play, learn the performing arts, entertain, and entertain. They play sports and live. Only the Oregon Zoo, OMSI, the Rose Garden, and Memorial Coliseum have as many children congregate as the kids zone. We already talked about Sylvia's house, inviting Mr. Paulson and his family to move in. He'd have neighbors like little Riley. She's going to be 3 in July. And Sage, who's about 10 months old, because we have all these wonderful young families moving into the neighborhood. It's a huge historic home in one of the West Coast's most historic neighborhoods. And really, our neighborhood is the diamond in Portland's crown. Here's what you can do in the kids zone within a 5-minute walk. St. Mary's Catholic Cathedral, Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, Temple Beth Israel, Metropolitan Learning Center, grades preschool through 12, Cooch Park with a new early childhood development playground, CCLC, formerly KinderCare, infant through preschool, and is held in such high esteem that the doctors from Legacy, Good Samaritan, entrust their infants and older to be nurtured there, 4 preschools, 2 grade schools, 1 private, 1 junior high, 1 high school. Lincoln is close by, Northwest Children's Theater and School, Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, Fred Meyer, McMiniman's Mission Theater, and PGE Park. The reason that he wouldn't want to live in our neighborhood is this, and I'm sorry to say.
These are from
Last week, the McDonald's on Burnside at 19th and 18th, the Catholic School, Cathedral School, Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, right across the street from the Portland Symphonic Girl Choir, and the Northwest Children's Theater and School. Those of you who know me in the neighborhood know that every day I go out and I pick up all these things every day before the kids come to school. I pick up all the cigarette butts in the neighborhood, all the beer cans, all the beer bottles. And I do not do vomit from Thirsty Thursdays. I draw a line at body fluids. The sexton,
so Pete,
from
unfortunately you're about
the sexton.
40 seconds,
thank you. The sexton from Trinity and I agree that she's very tired of picking up used condoms on the steps of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral.
Pete, Mr. Colt, your time's up, but I have a more a fundamental concern. What you've just put on that table is actually considered hazardous material, sir. And this is a public event. And I don't know where you found those things. I don't know what drugs or items are involved. But we now have a public health issue.
So thank you for agreeing with me.
No, but I want to now deal with another issue, which we've got a room full of citizens. And we have to remove this, and we also have to do something to this table.
I'll remove it, and I'll clean the table, because I do this every day for these children. And thank you for saying exactly what it is. The question is, how are we going to help these kids?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I guess it is April 15th, so civil disobedience is okay.
And I love you for the civil disobedience.
Especially though, Pete, you need a rigid container for that stuff.
I have a friend old crack pipe too. I have a friend who's a dentist who lets me use his shots container. So I do get this right out of the neighborhood.
But the next time, if you brought them in a see-through baggie,
that would. I put them in the original container, which this one actually had children's drawings on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To see the children skipping and playing every day while this is going on in broad daylight.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Another question.
We'll just make sure nobody sits right there. But actually, maybe, you know, Pete, the security here just reminded me that we have other people coming up to testify. So I think we're going to take a recess for a few minutes until we have somebody come in with some alcohol. And Clorox to, I think it would be unfair. We have another public.
Thank you. And you're absolutely right. Please.
We're going to take a recess for
just. We appreciate
just,
your passion, but this was not well thought out.
And the recess, I'd like to thank you for coming. Thank you, sir.
Check, 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 check. Test. Check, check, test one, test, test. Test one, test two, test, check, check, check. Got it.
All right, good morning. City Council at its Wednesday, March 15th meeting is reconvening after a recess. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. My understanding is we are on the fifth communications item. Carla, can you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 398?
Request of Renee John Garcia to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm new to this. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, it's really simple. All you have to do is give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes, and that countdown clock in front of you helps you keep time.
Thank you. My name is Renee John Garcia.
Move a little closer to the mic if you could so we can hear you.
I'm an automation specialist, and I lived in Portland for 27 years. I've seen this community change dramatically through the years. A little bit about myself. I'm originally from Havana, Cuba. I had to come to this country to escape communism. I was a child. So I've seen abuse of powers through the different spectrums of society. And I believe that we have so much potential to solve so many problems in so many different ways that abuse of power to get things done is inappropriate. We're just trying to get out of Iraq because we had the finger on the trigger, and because we could, we pulled it. I'm against terrorism. I'm against abuse to children and people. And that includes when it comes from the government itself. So, therefore, I just want to say briefly that I see great potential of solving problems in this country. And being an automation specialist, I can tell you that the source of powers are incalculable. People know who Thomas Edison is, but nobody knows who Nikola Tesla is. Some might, but most people don't. And basically, he was working on a project where electricity could be achieved through ground, the Earth's its own contained battery. That's amazing that his plans and his projects were stashed away. I'm surprised that at this stage of the game with technology that we don't try to uncover what he was trying to provide us with. He invented the induction motor. His great inventions were phenomenal. So therefore, I would ask all government stratas to look at the brilliant minds that we have that are graduating from the colleges and the universities, that we somehow establish some sort of entity that unites these minds to brainstorm ideas to solve the problems in our society economically, technically, ecologically. There is so many options. I didn't come here to condemn people. I just came here to please ask you to consider the potential of our minds. What this man did today was a small inkling of what could happen in a revolutionary situation where people cannot stand it anymore. He demonstrated his frustration, and I can sort of understand where he came from. Again, I think that Randy Lanner's idea of him bringing it in a plastic bag would have been appropriate, but his exhibit of frustration is warranted. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it. That leads us to the time certain at 9:30, which is Council Calendar Item 399.
Do you want to do the consent agenda first?
Yes, I do. Thank you. All right. Are there any items that anyone would like to pull from the consent agenda? Hearing none, Carl, would you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Now would you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 399.
Confirm appointment of Jesse Beeson and Kyra Higgs to the Regional Arts and Culture Council, terms to expire June 30, 2011.
Do we have either Kira or Jesse here? We do. Great. And Eloise Damrosch. It is with great pleasure that I introduce the appointments, Kira Higgs and Jesse Beeson, as board members for the Regional Arts and Cultural Council, known as RAC. And I thank Eloise Damrosch, the executive director, for being here as well. I'm impressed with Kira's work with the MetLife Innovations Forum, her participation in the fundraising cabinet as a member of the Work for Art, and as a board member of the Northwest Business and Cultural for the Arts organization. One of Kira's talents, I understand, is her expertise in communications that she does with great innovation and creativity, and will be a great asset and addition to the RAC board. Some of you might already be familiar with Jesse Beeson. As a member of the commissioner's staff, he was my arts and culture director when I served as a city commissioner. He also was the key person on my staff that helped bring back from the brink and now revitalize IFCC. He's an outstanding fellow, I can tell you, and is a great addition to the RAC board as well. So I'm pleased to offer to the City Council these two appointments and give you just a few minutes each to maybe tell us why you're passionate about this.
Well, I now work for an organization that helps low and moderate income folks own their first home in Portland. And as we've seen over the past 10 years, the availability of folks like that to actually purchase their home has gotten more scarce. And we've relegated folks to certain neighborhoods, neighborhoods where they used to rent and their families grew up in, and now they're forced to move elsewhere. And just yesterday, I met with a playwright who has a production that really tackles these issues, and it tackles them in people's homes. It's a traveling production where folks are invited into people's homes to be able to share their stories at the same time engaging in a play. And that, to me, is really why I care passionately about the arts, because I think the arts can bring voice to people who don't currently have one, and I'm very excited to bring that perspective and as well as my experience in Mayor Adams' office to the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Well, instead of singing a song for you this morning, I think what I'll do is just share my perspective on the value of the arts. And one way to think about it is when the economy is doing really well, arts continue to thrive. They create jobs. They create a transfer of wealth between artists and patrons. And when the economy is struggling, the arts is a big part of what brings us together and supports us. When I think about what happened after 9/11, it was in many ways music that brought our hearts and our minds back to a grounded place. So I've enjoyed working with RAC for the past several years. The Work for Art campaign has been a huge success. Thank you, Mayor Adams, for your support with that. And as well with Northwest Business for Culture and the Arts, the business community has been very supportive of the arts in the Portland metro area and will continue to be. So thank you for the appointment.
Thank you for standing for the consideration for the appointment. We appreciate it. Any questions from council? Anyone wishes to testify on this matter? If not, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
I want to thank you both for agreeing to serve. Standard has set the standard in our community in terms of corporate involvement and volunteer service. We really appreciate that. Jesse, you know, we lost you here in City Hall, but I gained you as a partner on the housing agenda, which I'm delighted. And as the mayor will note, there's no one more passionate about Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. And we're working on a plan in this budget cycle to hopefully provide some relief. Thank you both for your willingness to serve. I need you actually, I need to enlist you on another project, which is I'm experiencing some challenges getting some great Northwest art relocated from Multnomah County headquarters to my office. And so I may call upon you to intervene with Chair Wheeler. But again, this is an important
position. Late night raid.
Thank you for agreeing to take the time to do this important work. We need champions for the arts more than ever. And I'm pleased to support your appointments. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve, and you both sound like you have exceptional backgrounds for this. So I'm pleased to support you. Aye.
Leonard?
I very much agree. Appreciate you serving. Aye.
Fritz?
This is a significant commitment of time, and I appreciate very much that you're willing to volunteer, and thank you. If anybody's watching at home and wondering how else, if they would like to volunteer, you can go to the Office of Neighborhood Involvement website and there volunteer for any board or commission or committee, and we'd be happy to accept other applications for all manner of things, whatever our citizens are interested in. Portland is blessed by citizens who want to participate, who give us their opinions, whether we agree with them or not, and that makes us a better city and a better place to live, a better community. Aye.
Adams.
Congratulations. As of now, you're appointed. Carla, would you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 400?
Authorized application to enhance the Portland Enterprise Zone with electronic commerce designation with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department.
Staff would please come forward. The Enterprise Zone is one of the important tools we have to create local investment and to provide job opportunities here in Portland. Today, we're going to hear about how over 50 companies have participated in the Enterprise Zone programs, resulting in nearly $1 billion of investments and savings or creating 5,000 jobs. As a requirement of the zone, the community has received over $5 million in investments in workforce training for the residents of North and Northeast Portland. With unemployment at almost 12% in the state and 9.6% in our region, we need to employ every tool available to us to try and encourage investment and to save and help grow jobs. The e-commerce designation is also consistent with the goals of the Emerging Economic Development Strategy, which cites software and digital media as one of our four key target industries. In order to create economic growth and job prosperity for all of our citizens over the next 5 years. That's why I believe it's important that we move this item forward and bring the e-commerce designation to our enterprise zone. We're going to hear today from a variety of folks from PDC and others who manage and make use of the program, or hope to make use of the additional e-commerce designation. So, Keith, do you want to start up?
Sure. Keith Witkowski, Government Relations, Portland Development Commission. So what I'm going to do is just give you a very quick overview of the item, a little bit about the Enterprise Zone, and then Sierra Gardner will take it from there in terms of the contents. So as the mayor said, the purpose of today's action is to authorize PDC to apply to use the state program, and it works in close conjunction with the existing Enterprise Zone program. And again, for some of you that haven't been around for a decade, you know, the Enterprise Zone program, you know, in the past has been fairly controversial. Questions frequently come up about our companies. Would they have made the investment anyway? And I think today, people can look at it and know that if we need this tool, we need to enhance this program. We have a current enterprise zone. What this does, the action today, allows us to put an overlay for electronic commerce, so companies that do electronic commerce become eligible for the enterprise zone tax abatements. And so what we're going to focus on is an overview of the program, some of the benefits and the financials, and we wanted to do is mirror some of the good work directed by Commissioner Fish in terms of identifying the amount of abatements associated with this program, talk about compliance monitoring, and then speak specifically to the electronic commerce program. And then there's actually Portland Vital Signs is here to testify about how they would very likely use this program should it be approved.
Keith, would you just put in plain English what electronic commerce refers to? Just
can you do that? I can't.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. An investment in electronic commerce would include facilities related to the business-to-business transactions of electronic commerce. So that's majoritively using the internet to make transactions. So that would include the types of qualified investments would include computers, equipment, networks, servers, or software.
And it's my understanding it's really tied to companies that do over 50% of their business through electronic commerce. It's kind of how what today's tool it'll help those kinds of companies. So, okay, quick overview of the Enterprise Zone. How it works is if you have a company, let's say there's $1 million facility that you've got within this designated area north and northeast Portland, if you want to put another $1 million into it, you're eligible for 5-year property tax abatement on the value of that second $1 million. And it starts from the point you make the investment, and then it's good for 5 years. And in exchange for that significant benefit, you've got to agree to requirements about increasing employment by 10%, retaining employees. There's other requirements related to wage levels, local procurement, and then larger investments require things associated with transit passes. So the idea is find a company that either wants to come here or a company that's here and we want to keep them here, have them make the investment, and exchange provides local job opportunities and career paths and workforce training. I think one of the most interesting examples and exciting ones is if you look at Chris King, that's something they do high-end bicycle components. And if you go to any bike store, you look in the glass case and you see these really expensive fittings for bicycles. They came from California and they moved to Portland for a couple reasons. One, the Enterprise Zone was great, but it also ties back to what the mayor talked about, which is our economic development strategy and all the work we've done in activewear and the biking industry created incentive and eagerness for Chris King to move here and do his work in town. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Sierra, who can talk more about the boundaries and the performance and some of the details the mayor discussed.
Thanks, Keith. I'm Sierra Gardner, and I'm the Enterprise Zone Project Coordinator for the Portland Development Commission. I'm going to talk about the value of the E-Zone compliance monitoring and the benefits of the e-commerce enhancement. So since 1996, as mentioned before, there has been two Enterprise Zone programs in the city of Portland. One is the North Northeast Enterprise Zone program, the former program, and today we have the Portland Enterprise Zone adopted by City Council last year. Both of these programs combined have created enrolled over 50 companies. We've seen an investment of over nearly $1 billion in private investment in the North Northeast community, and we've generated over $5 million in community contributions, creating and retaining over 5,000 full-time quality jobs. So PDC verifies compliance. Next slide, please. On an annual basis, if compliance is not met by August 30th, a company will be considered in non-compliance. Some of variations of types of non-compliance that can include, like, not meeting the, as Keith mentioned before, not meeting the 10% hiring increase, not retaining over 50% of the full-time staff for nearly 2 years, or failing to meet job quality requirements, and that includes the 150% of the minimum wage and benefits that meet the Bureau of Labor and Industry Benefits standards. Next slide. So I'll explain how the e-commerce tool works. Like the E-Zone, it's primarily an instrument for job creation and investment. But whereas the E-Zone provides a property tax exemption, the e-commerce enhancement provides an additional excise or corporate income tax credit. So it's for qualified e-commerce-related investments only. A company must be entered into the regular Enterprise Zone in order to qualify for e-commerce enhancement. Qualifying companies can receive both the E-Zone property tax abatement and the e-commerce tax credit simultaneously. The tax credit would be for 25% of their qualified investment, up to $2 million per year, and that can roll over for the full 5 years. With Council's approval, the PDC has carried this designation in the past. As mentioned before, the North Northeast Enterprise Zone was approved in 2002 and ran until 2007 at sunset with the North Northeast Enterprise Zone. The new e-commerce designation would last the duration of the new Portland Enterprise Zone until 2018. And there are 10 e-commerce designations in the state, of which 9 are currently filled. Applications are accepted by the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. We would be applying for the 10th and last designation available. So in order to apply, the managing agency must have a prospective company That company, as Keith mentioned, is Portland Vital Signs, and they're a local retail graphics manufacturer. Nick Olson, co-founder of Portland Vital Signs, is here today to speak on behalf of our application to the state.
Is it just one other thing, is just so you know, unlike the residential tax abatements, where when we are authorized to use that program, applications come back to the city to approve on a case-by-case basis. In this case, it's, I think the term's kind of like by right, where we just apply to the state to use these zones. We don't return to council to say, is this company an abatement? Is this company the kind of company you're willing to provide an abatement to? So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Let me just be clear on that, Keith. It becomes, in effect, an entitlement for companies that qualify for the benefit. But you've got a verification system, an annual system to monitor compliance. And if people are not delivering what they're required to, you can not only cut them off, but you can recapture the benefit that they've already received, correct?
Yes. Exactly.
Include penalties as well, yeah.
Additional council discussion?
I guess the one question that often comes up, boy, it's gotten awful dark here, Carl.
It's got bright out here.
Yeah.
There's a haze over this front of the house.
I think that's a personal issue that you're
yeah, well, I'll come back to you later, Commissioner Lehrer. The question that we often get asked is, with any program that creates an incentive where we trade a property tax break, an income tax break, a corporate tax break, the question comes up, how do we know that but for this incentive, the investment wouldn't be made? Because we don't want to be in the business of creating incentives for conduct that would otherwise, that the market would already respond to. So what do we say to people in this instance that to address any concern they may have about creating an incentive program for actions that otherwise might already be undertaken?
Sierra, respond to that question.
Sure. So the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department is commissioning a study right now to have better data on that. What we do know is that the Portland Enterprise Zone is different from other programs around the state, and that we require that a company is meeting job quality requirements, such as the 150% of employment and et cetera. So when a company, even if a company says that they would have moved but for this program, we know that what they're meeting for us in exchange is a great benefit to the community.
Okay. So, I mean, the shorthand on that is that we look closely. We look very closely at the companies that make these applications. We monitor it closely to make sure we get the benefit, which is above and beyond what they'd otherwise have to provide the community, which is clearly identified. And on an annual basis, if we determine that we're not getting the public benefit, we can terminate this particular benefit. So there's an upside for us, but there's also a way for us to police it to make sure that no one takes advantage of this program.
This program is intended to work as a catalyst for investment and job creation.
Thank you. Any other discussion from council? Did anyone sign up to testify?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Nick Olson.
Is there anyone else besides Mr. Olson that would like to testify?
Is there somebody here from the company? Or is that?
Yeah, Portland Vital Signs. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Olson. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. You just need to give us your name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Nick Olson, Portland Vital Signs. I founded in 1991.
Could you move a little closer to the mic?
There, how's that? And this program definitely is something that helps us out in these hard economic times. Without this program, I don't know if we actually would have considered doing what we're doing. It's going to leapfrog us into allowing us to buy some new equipment. We just launched a new website, which is going to allow us to increase our online sales, and it's just really going to help us as a company.
Thank you very much for testifying. We really appreciate it.
That was really quick and easy.
Well, it was very effective. To the point and effective.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else wishes to testify? If not, this is a resolution. Carla, would you? Pete?
Yeah.
An encore?
I'll leave my bag back here.
We're going to have you searched.
Strip search?
Just a question on the overview. It said maintain a 15% of the baseline employees. So, for example, if they hired 100 employees at the start, it said up there, and I was wondering if it was a typo. It said that they need to maintain 15% in the slide that said overview.
Can you give us your name for the record?
Oh, Pete Colt, thanks. Because if a company has laid off that many people and is down from 100 to 15 people, that means that they're in pretty much dire financial straits, and I don't think the city will be able to get much money back from them. So I'd like to know if that's just a typo. Thanks.
Keith? Somebody? Sierra?
According to statute, it's 50%. They must retain 50% of the peak employment, so that's in addition to their retained baseline.
Thank you. All right, unless there's additional council discussion, Carl, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
I want to thank the mayor for his leadership on this issue, PDC for the briefing that I received on it. And as I've reflected on this, I think that if this were a period of good economic times, I would be inclined to support this. But in a time of economic calamity, I think it's essential that we support this. There's a high degree of skepticism in the public about programs which provide tax breaks and other advantages to business generally, and that's why we need to be very rigorous in how we monitor these programs to make sure they're meeting the stated objectives. But anyone reading the paper this week will have noted that we are now third in the nation in hunger, third in the nation in unemployment. We know here at the city our business license fee revenue has fallen off a cliff. Every day, it seems, a business which has been a household name for a generation is closing. We are going through the worst economic downturn in my lifetime, and it is incumbent on us to do things to try to stimulate economic activity. There are many ways we can do that, but this is, I think, a particularly attractive tool. It encourages precisely the kind of businesses which we want to recruit and retain long-term in Portland, the kind of clean energy businesses, high-tech. It creates an immediate sort of primer of the pump to get people to make investments, which lead to expansion of job creation. And it's a state program which we're linking up with, which has, in my view, enough bells and whistles built in that we can be certain that that we're getting the bang for the buck in terms of our investment. I want to compliment the Portland Development Commission for really ramping up their programs for oversight in our abatement programs generally. Again, in good times, I think there'd be a strong argument to do this. In the economy we have today, I think it's essential that we explore creative tools like this to jumpstart our local economy. I will vote aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
The Portland Development Commission put together an excellent study of the effectiveness of the enterprise zones a year or so ago and found that they are indeed extremely effective and that there's so many checks and balances that this is a program that citizens can be assured that the money invested is going to promote really good jobs, not just any old jobs. So I'm really glad to see this expansion. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks, team, for your excellent good work. I vote aye. Item number 400 is approved. Could you, Carla, please read the title for council calendar item 424.
Authorize the Portland Water Bureau to establish an office and a retail sales and service use for the Portland Rose Festival Foundation and the Albertina Kerr Centers on property located at 1020 Southwest NATO Parkway and affix an electric rooftop sign.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. We have Jeff Curtis from the Rose Festival Foundation already up here. If I could ask Sterling Bennett and Douglas Hardy from the Bureau of Development Services to come forward. Mayor Adams, member of the council, this ordinance waives portions of Title 33 to allow the Rose Festival Foundation to occupy the Eon Building, which is otherwise known as McCall's, down on the waterfront, for office use. Because the building has been vacant since 2005, it has lost all of its nonconforming use rights and has therefore and must therefore revert to uses consistent with open space, which does not allow an office use. Secondly, the ordinance waives portions of Title 33 to allow Albertina Care Centers to operate a retail bicycle rental facility out of the outbuilding at the Eon building that is part of the premises. That is also because the building has been vacant since 2005, and it, too, has lost its nonconforming use rights. And finally, number three, the ordinance waives portions of Title 33 and Title 32 to allow a road sign to be affixed to the top of the roof of the Eon outbuilding. And I want to, before I kind of get into a broader explanation of the ordinance, give the council just a few examples of where we've waived Title 33 in the past. I have a more exhaustive list that each of you can have upon request. But in 1999, we waived portions of Title 33 to allow for the expansion of the Powell Valley Water District Operations Center. In 2001, we waived portions of Title 33 to allow the temporary location of the Sheriff's Booking Facility. In 2000, 2002, 2003, and 2006, we've waived portions of Title 33 for Cirque du Soleil. Thank you. I've never been able to pronounce that correctly. And then finally, and most recently, Council will probably remember just exactly 1 year ago, we waived portions of Title 33 so that the Day Labor Center on Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard could be located there. The building was designed by renowned Portland designer John Yeon and was constructed in 1949. In its time, it was considered a cutting-edge design, and in retrospect, it was one of the early examples of the modernist movement in American architecture. 60 years later, the building has been allowed to deteriorate dramatically and has suffered through a number of tenants and non-historic additions that have left the current building as a shadow of its former self. The Rose Festival is one of Portland's oldest and most prominent traditions and is an internationally recognized event that occurs each year in Portland.